Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled, Yours is the Kingdom.
So yeah, we're on Amos 6, which makes more sense this morning. And today with the New Testament verse, which let me just check is, yeah, it's 1 Corinthians 6, 1 to 11. It's all about lawsuits, Christians bringing lawsuits against each other. And this one, again, we're meeting Amos, who has a judgment against Israel, and it surprises Israel. So I think this morning is all about our hidden sins, our hidden things that we don't know that we're doing wrong. And it takes someone from outside of the community to come and sometimes tell us that, you know, you've stepped out to the boundaries here. So let's read what Amos has to say and what Paul says in Corinthians.
Alas, for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria, the notables of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel resorts, cross over to Calneh and see from there, go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms, or is your territory greater than their territory? Oh, you that put far away the evil day and bring near a reign of violence. Alas, for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. The Lord God has sworn by himself, says the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his strongholds, and I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. If 10 people remain in one house, they shall die. And if a relative, one who burns the dead, shall take up the body to bring it out of the house, and shall say to someone in the innermost part of the house, is anyone else with you? The answer will come, no. Then the relative shall say, hush, we must not mention the name of the Lord. See, the Lord commands, and the great house shall be shattered to bits, and the little house to pieces. Do horses run on rocks? Does one plough the sea with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison, and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. You who rejoice in Lo-debar, who say, have we not by our own strength taken Karnaim for ourselves? Indeed, I am raising up against you a nation, O house of Israel, says the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall oppress you from Lebo Hamath to the Wadi Arabah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
1 Corinthians 6, 1 to 11.
When any of you has a grievance against another, do you dare to take it to court before the unrighteous instead of taking it before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels, to say nothing of ordinary matters? If you have ordinary cases, then do you appoint as judges those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to decide between one believer and another, but a believer goes to court against a believer, and before unbelievers at that? In fact, to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud, and believers at that. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, sodomites, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revelers, robbers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what some of you used to be. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So the two passages here, I think, intertwine beautifully. There's a real sense of justice and what is the kingdom of God. Israel is meant to be a light to the world, a light to the nations. They're tasked with the task of showing the world for who's God's people and what they're meant to be like. And then we have this judgment that comes against them. So as I said last week, Amos was a shepherd from the southern part of Israel. He goes up to the northern part and he proclaims judgment over them. And he starts with their enemies. He says, this many counts against this city. He works their way in and he hits them with Israel. And they're amazed. They're like, you can't, what? Why? But they were blessed at this time. There's a lot of rich people, as those who lie on beds of ivory. Now, ivory was an important, expensive luxury item. And if you've got that like engraved into your beds, that's like a sign of real richness, which in that time is a sign of real blessing. And in our time, we often think, oh, you've been so blessed. But actually, he's turning that on its head. He's like, this is a gross misconduct of resources. This is not what we're meant to be living like. And again, I see that in our day-to-day lives, as inequality across our nation, across the world, where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And that's the picture we have here. Are those lounging on their couches and eat from lambs from the flock and cows from the stall? It's just like this injustice that's going on when there's people not far from them that are starving, that are having a hard time. And at the time, Israel was all about strength of military might and in riches, in oils and things like that. And then you think of Egypt, the place where they escaped, and it was all about military might with the chariot and slavery and things like that. So Israel are becoming Egypt, and that is the judgment brought before them. And that is harsh. And God obviously has something to say about that. And he goes on about how the great house shall be shattered. They think they're immune to it. They think they're blessed. And I enjoyed this bit. These questions: do horses run on rocks? Does one plough the sea with oxen? Because then as we go into the New Testament, I felt that chimed really well with actually what is God's kingdom like. And the things that sometimes we do don't have a part of God's kingdom, the things that we get wrong. So at the end here, he goes on about fornicators, adulterers, male prostitutes, sodomites, thieves, and all these other things. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's because they don't chime, they don't rhyme, they don't flow the same way as the kingdom of God. There's no like integration there. We can't take these things and make them part of the kingdom of God. And it's like what Israel have done without realizing they're doing it. And we do that so much and don't realize it either. They're not part of the kingdom of God, and they can't be. And so often we think of God as like the Greek gods. So the Greek gods, when they to get eternal life or to be part of the God's kingdom, there was sometimes stages of punishment to go through. There was, you had to maybe lose an arm or a leg to fit into the God's bed or something, one of the Greek gods was, or you had to be stretched, or all these kind of like judgment, punishment kind of things. But what God is, what Paul's saying here is that God's kingdom is God's kingdom. He is in charge, and it is beautiful. And this stuff just doesn't feature in it. And we need to do away with it as much as we can. Now, I like this thing about coming to court against one another as well. It's so easy to fall into the culture of our day and just use it instead of being different. If we have lawsuits against one another, why can't you sort it out within the church? And the church is meant to be a place We're meant to be God's people, and like Israel's, we're meant to be a light to this world. And if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, then he is the king of the world. He's like, he's the savior. He's the light. There's nothing else but him. And if you believe that, then you believe that the church is his body on this world. And then if you think about his body tearing itself apart in lawsuits and things like that, you get a picture of actually, no, we're meant to be fixing the problems. We're meant to be holding people to account. We're meant to be saints. We're meant to be people who will stand up for injustice, inequality. We're meant to be those serving in food banks and helping with street passers. All those kind of, we're meant to show a different way of living that's not so inward looking about. So I like the part like, yo, what's so bad? Why not rather be defrauded? Why not rather be wrong? There's this whole sense of pride, this individual pride that we have where like, we want to be the winner. Whereas he's saying, actually, why not rather be wronged for the sake of the church? Now, I don't know, that might not speak into your situation, but it's just this real, the character of humility and wisdom and patience and self-sacrifice, you know, all the fruits of the spirit that they talk about, that we, that's who we're meant to be as God's body. I thought the passage really chimed with one another. I love Amos. It's a really interesting piece of history that reminds us. And then again, in the early church, it's happening again. We lose sight of things. And I'm sure today it's happening as well. We often, it's hidden when we, the way we are and what we do. Anyway, let's pray about that. Let's pray with humility and let's ask God to open our eyes to what he has in store for us today and this week. Lord, I thank you for your church. I thank you that we are the body of Christ in this world. And Lord, would you help us to be that? Jesus, you gave your life. You didn't take your accusers to law, to the courts, or to a sense of justice. You stayed silent, but you had a plan, Lord, and you defeated sin, you defeated death, and you turned the whole justice system there upside down. And Lord, I thank you for that, and for that reminder that we are to live in this world differently. So Lord, would you help us to be a light today, this Monday, this blue Monday morning? Would you help us to be a light? Help us to have fun, be filled with your joy. Lord, we ask you this morning that would you open our eyes and our eyes and our hearts to things that we might have wrong. Lord, when we store up resources for ourselves, where we look for things like ivory beds, whatever that looks like for you, for security, for a luxury good that we want, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to find value in other things? Jesus, we're so thankful that this is the day that you have made. So would you help us to rejoice and be glad in it? Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.